that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yakmala, Yakmala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, the season finale. Season 9, If You Show Me Yours, wraps up today. Oh, it's amazing that we finally reached it. But I'm your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am so happy to be joined by my good friends. I got James Cotta.
I'm thrilled to be here for the season finale of
season nine. Yeah.
What a season, double digits on our season.
That's not going to be crazy. Speaking of double digits, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. Enhance your calm. Everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine. All right, and now speaking of nothing is going to be fine, we've got Jack Hall.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say to you folks who watched the film, you're welcome.
Sure, okay.
And I'd like to say fuck you for doing this. Fuck you.
Yeah. Your welcome may not be where I was going.
And Nick, I'd like to say, suck it up, Nancy.
said it going in, didn't I? Everything I said about this, I did not over or undersell. I said it all ahead of time that I was worried that this might be even too much for this podcast.
It'll be interesting. I have no idea how to even score it yet. So, I mean, the movie is gutter balls and thankfully, it's not me, but it's Nick who has to explain it.
Yeah, it's a bunch of, I think they're supposed to be teens hanging out in a bowling alley after hours. I don't know why it's necessary for it to be after hours, but it is. And one night after a quite brutal, horrendous, and unnecessary for the film rape, a series of murders take place, and that's all that happens. It's teenagers getting killed and a really ugly rape.
It's time to point out, it's a horror comedy.
A clue on that one.
I would say the rape is integral to the story. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't have to be 20% of the running time.
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, I got to the rape. I watched the rape. I did not enjoy the rape. And
I hope. We'd be pausing the recording right now to have a conversation, I think.
No. And then I spent the next, it was not until somebody got killed by the ball waxer that I stopped being mad at this film.
I feel, given the movies we watch, I feel it important that that the ball waxer isn't the name of the villain. Because the ball waxer sounds like it could be the bad guy in one of the movies we watch.
Oh, it absolutely does sound like that, for sure. Yes.
Well, somebody hasn't made that movie yet, I'm hoping.
Is it better if I said ball polisher?
Mm-hmm. It's a waxer. It's definitely a waxer.
Yeah.
I think off the top, I'd say that was the interesting thing for me is there were some, because of the setting of a bowling alley, there are some very, very creative deaths that I have not seen in anything else. I've seen a lot of slasher movies.
No, but one of my favorites, I wasn't able to judge the boogaloo because I was actively pissed at this movie for subjecting me to that one scene.
Yeah,
it's seething.
It's incredibly, like, that scene is so vile. Like, the whole movie's vile. Like, that's the one thing about Gutterballs, right? Like, this movie is vile and repugnant and completely without a single redeeming quality, but is completely honest about it. Like, that's the thing that I think lets it get away with it. It never lies to you. Like, it says up front, we're going to be the most out there, completely repugnant thing you can ever watch. And see, then it doesn't.
I understand that in, like, Last House on the Left, where, you know, there's some artistic merit to feeling sick for the entire movie. This is a comedy.
In fairness, I did laugh at some of the stuff, like deaths. That's one of the things I love about the slasher genre is the more over the top and weird and creative the deaths are. Like that's where I get my giggles from teenagers. And yeah, all of these teenagers seem to be kind of pushing a 30. They're like a 90210 style teenager.
Well, it's like the teenagers are too old and the old man is too young.
Yeah, they keep calling him old man, and he's old enough to be their older brother. Like, yeah.
I will say this. If you're trying to guess the killer, the chances are you're right for all the wrong reasons.
you've probably picked it.
That scene, it really is like that scene is, if it wasn't so vile, it would be so much easier to like the rest of the movie. There's no question.
If they cut it at the bowling pin, I think.
Yeah, because after that, it's generally a lot of fun. But that scene is so, like, and as it's like incredibly cartoonish. Yeah. So you're watching it going, and the facial expressions and stuff like that, and the reaction and the acting and the reactions. So you're going at it going, is he trying to make me laugh here? Because there's nothing funny about this. And the actors playing it, though, plays it straight. So everybody else is cartoonish. And yet the person being raped, thank God, acts horrified. And it's just like the worst thing. It's just such a strange scene. Though I will give me this. You're never forgetting it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the weird things about the movie. That's one of the strange things about the movie overall for me is it has really strange stakes. Because like there is, so before the rape scene, there is an altercation between, it's supposed to be three teams who are in a bowling league, and it's the weirdest grouping of people that would end up in a bowling league together.
After hours
bowling league. I assume that's just so you don't have to populate the rest of the bowling alley. Like that's, I didn't think there was any other reason other than it's not a small bowling alley. It's about a 20 lane bowling alley. So you have to explain why the rest of it's empty. And that's pretty much the only,
I thought that was the simple. It's a bowling alley. When was the last time you went to a bowling alley and it was full?
Last time I went to a bowling alley was 3 weeks ago, but it was not full, I'll be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't completely empty.
It wasn't completely empty. That's the other thing. This is a big place.
I think it's about 45 seconds in, though, that you go, whoa, what have I gotten myself into? When there's the completely gratuitous, unnecessary and graphic close-up of a woman's body, you know, her private area in a way that I've never seen in any other anything outside of pornography.
So you got these three teams that are bowling, and then two of them get, like, one of them's this team of jocks, and there's a transgender individual on one of the other teams, and they get into a thing.
Nerds or outcasts here, isn't it? Is it back last season?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if jocks is the right thing. I don't know what era this was supposed to take place in. But I think in the 80s. But yeah, I mean, you got the one guy with the sweater tied around his neck and stuff like that. It's, you know.
So they get into this altercation, an incredibly violent altercation, where one of them just gets punched. Like, he gets knocked out and just hit repeatedly in the face. His blood everywhere, and they're like threatening each other. And then as they're filing out, because the old man, who's 35, he kicks them all out. He's been nice enough to let them stay after hours. They've had this big fight. He's like, this wasn't after hours.
This was him closing. This was just the end. They were the last people in the lane that night.
No, I think he mentions that it's after hours.
Yeah, I thought it was after hours myself. Yeah,
but that's this is what I'm getting at though, is the weird stakes, because he throws them all out for fighting. He says he regrets that, like, letting them stay after hours. See you tomorrow. This better not happen again.
Yeah.
And then they all decide they're all coming back tomorrow.
Well, because they had to
play the game.
Because league play is very important to these people.
Yeah, they're very.
Well, this is an important league. Wasn't there $100 on the line?
100 cool ones. Yeah, yeah, 100 big ones. But like after the one of the Gumlik is punched to death, he's like, "Yo, tomorrow we're gonna get together and solve this by bowling." Yeah, and then we have the rape, then we have like there, and then everyone shows back up the next night excited, and there's a whole including her and her, the rapers, and everyone's back talking about the bowling game they're about to have. It's this really jarring change of gears throughout the film.
Yeah. if somebody was to pick it up right there and didn't watch the first part and just picked it up right there and saw that somebody for some reason was going through all this, and you knew something happened the night before, it'd be a completely different experience. Like, I think most people would be like, "Oh, this is fun," because you don't have that kind of, I don't know. It's like this pall over the rest of the film. It's true.
It's, I mean, the mood is lightened when you have a very sudden switch to hardcore pornography.
I wouldn't call it hardcore pornography, because there's no actual, I'm pretty sure that was a prosthetic.
Yeah,
that the girl was working on there. There was a version made that did have hardcore inserts, but only 69 DVDs were made available on the website at the time. So
it's. I mean, I assume that most of the body parts I see in hardcore porn aren't real.
That's probably pretty fair, really.
You can tell yourself whatever you want. Yes, they're supposed to be that big.
who amongst us is the most versed in bowling? Which of the four of us can speak to bowling?
You would think with the four of us that if we were to participate in any sort of sport, bowling would require
it. It is true. I mean, I go bowling about 4 times a year.
That's a lot. I mean, compared to the average person, that's probably 4, infinity more times, actually.
whenever I see a bowling alley, I go in just to check for pinball.
Nice. I not anymore. I won't be.
I like to go in and see what video games they have.
Yeah.
So, how long does a bowling game take? Because in this movie, about 3 hours.
And
between turns, basically.
Well, people keep leaving. There's somebody else scoring that they don't know about. That's the killer. Every time he kills somebody, it shows up as a strike.
Well, a strike with a skull and crossbones. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing for sure. Like, so say an average bowling game might take. I mean, if you have that many people, because they were supposed to be bowling 3-on-3. But the thing is that I believe they each had their own lane.
Yeah, yes, they each had their own lane. Nobody else is there.
Yeah, so a 3-person game, my guess would be, if you were really seriously playing, about 45 minutes.
Okay, well, these people were not seriously playing.
No. But
the leader
there for about 8 hours, yeah.
The leader of the prep guy who orchestrated the rape and is the most vile character, from then becomes the funniest, most almost likable character because he spends the rest of the movie with his foot crushed, asking people to get him a beer, and nobody ever brings it to him.
Well, that's
karma.
Right? Try.
That's just karma.
But
that's true.
But I mean, sex gets in the way, right? So
yeah, like, and that actor, by the way, I think was reading off Mark's script. It's an inside joke, but
yeah, it does have that low budget improv thing where everyone says fuck way more times than should be than would have showed up in any script.
Now, oh my! Yes.
correct me if I'm wrong. But you don't normally hire hookers to go bowling.
That was also a strange choice.
That is completely fair. Yep,
you don't. But, well, hey, if I'm paid, we're going to do what I want.
And you figure bowling. Well, yeah. that actually explains a lot.
Yeah, that explains so much, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's like, so... What'd you do when you hired those hookers out there, Jack? Oh, I went bowling, of course. Anything else? Just bowling.
Just bowling. A little time with the ball waxer, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there is a point where one of the girls is going to blow him, like, right there.
Yeah, they weren't.
It's unclear if she doesn't even just start. Like,
they're not actually said to be hookers. They're just his. No,
they're just friends.
It's just his girl. One is his girl. Another one is his girl's friend who likes to participate in any sex she can at any time.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. If
deep characters. Very deep characters.
Yeah. If they're open for a threesome, then she's willing. Yep. That's what I got from that.
Everybody's boning in this movie. That's
well,
for sure.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't think there was any single person who wasn't, except for maybe the. The old man.
The old man doesn't get any. That's not fair.
No. We don't know what the transgender person we're doing before.
He was nice enough to keep the bowling alley open late.
That's true.
Even though he appears to hate all of them. Yeah. With a fiery passion.
And
from the minute
really, after meeting them, I understand why he hates all of them.
Yeah, that's also fair, yeah.
And by the way, I've looked it up, and yes, a lot of the dialogue was improvised.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Doesn't show
it. So, like I say, it literally had the most F-bombs in history.
Oh my god, does it
have? SwearNet has beat it since then, but SwearNet also not a scripted film, really. And so, I mean, for a scripted film, it still would be Wolf of Wall Street, but for non-scripted, this is like number three behind the documentary on the word, and
number two. That's amazing.
Because it's listed at, I think IMDb is listing it at like four, and the Wikipedia is listing it at like 500 something. But its own website was listing it over 600. Jesus. So wow. it was insane.
It's a lot.
That is, yeah.
It's a lot. Like I said, it's Mark's script.
You ready to go to scoring?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
kind of handled the.
It's interesting because afterwards it basically does become a fairly standard slasher movie. So
yeah, no, I like that.
Incredibly violent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Which is great.
He wants to show up. He wants to show off his special effects abilities, obviously, you know. So and he does. The one that is uncomfortable is the way that he kills the transgender person. That is for every man who's ever existed an uncomfortable watch.
Man, now that right there, that was.
But you know, it's fake. But yeah, it really looks real.
I'd watched another slasher movie the day before this, and I thought like that's the first time in a while I've had to look away from a screen, and then a day later. I don't go away from the screen watching this.
Oh yeah.
She got to that death and I'm like, oh, that's, and then I look back and like, oh, it's still happening. Okay. That's look back. Oh, this scene's long. Okay. Yeah. It's the sustained level. That's what's harsh. All right. We're doing the thing. All right.
Sure. Sure, let's do that.
Yeah. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories. None of those categories are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
This possibly has some objectionable quality, but wow, yeah. The thing that actually kind of got me is as I was watching it, because I knew that Jack brought it, And after you get to the rape scene, and about 12 or 15 minutes into the rape scene, I was just like, wow, how did Jack even continue watching this movie? Because this is
I fast forwarded to the rape scene for the first time. Like, okay. This time I watched all the way through. But the first time I was like, oh my God, fast forward, hoping that it would get more entertaining. So,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like, afterwards, it's a good, solid, you know, cheesy horror movie. Oh, but, you know, everything just is like, when they do something and they go too far, I love it when they go too far with the horror parts. The swearing was too far, and that was a little bit too much. And, of course, the rape was too far, and so that was too much. But, what rape isn't too far, ultimately? But, yeah, it's a tough one to score. I think overall, I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah, yeah, this is the one, the type of movie that, you know, it definitely has schlock appeal, because if you're talking about it, and, you know, if you're one of us, you're going to listen in to that conversation and go, ooh, I got to see that. However, if the person knows you and knows you're listening, they will immediately stop the conversation and slap you and say, no, you don't need to do that. Don't. It's not a good idea. So it probably deserves an 8, but I'm giving it that -2. I'm calling it the common sense modifier, just backing it off a little bit.
Yeah. So
6 is my final score.
All your logic is strong. I mean, again, I said, if people, you want to start this thing about, right after the rape, so maybe an hour in, I actually think the rape scene, actually, I do believe is 8 minutes, I think, was the length of time that it actually came out to.
Wow.
Which is just an insanely long time to be experiencing and seeing that.
Yeah. It's a 96-minute movie. Just give that context of, yeah. 10% of the film. Yeah,
it's crazy. If you don't watch it. See, the thing is, it is, though, I mean, you don't see a lot of films with this level of schlock, this level of bad acting. Bad acting to the point where it's almost good and funny. Just this much grime. Like, it's got so much schlock, more than we usually have. I also was going to give it a minus for the rape, though. I was only giving it a -1 for the rape, which leaves me at an 8.
It's the bowling bag killer, BBK. So I...
Yeah, who would guess that?
8's the lowest I can go to. The bowling bag, it's the bowling bag killer.
And people need to see the visual of the,
oh yeah, like, the, yeah, check bag. The show notes, because yeah, it's the killer. It has a bowling bag, and it took me,
and
honestly,
it's an upside down bowling bag too.
It took longer than I feel comfortable telling anyone that for me to figure out that that's what it was that was on his head. It was a bowling ball bag.
I actually didn't realize until you just told me right now. I just I knew it was something to do with bowling, but it was kind of like, I don't know what that is. And I mean, in fairness, I didn't actually care enough to try to find out what it was.
You're looking at it, though, going, well, it's something.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
it's solid, I believe they do call him the bowling bag killer by the end.
Yeah.
They do,
but,
yeah.
But the audio was so terrible that I think I missed it.
More of the movies of heel right there.
Yeah, you're just adding points the way you're doing. our next category is called More Hearth Than Budget, and the reported budget in this case, $250,000.
Oh, $250,000. I mean, given that their entire set is a bowling alley, and that's, you know, you just get yourself a bowling alley and you're off to the races. Those people,
and given the fact that I'm pretty damn sure they didn't pay for anybody for the soundtrack.
No, or yeah, that's for damn sure. Because which Canadian artist of that ilk wants their music cranked over that rape scene? Is what I want to know. Like, who watched that?
They just bought like a True North mixtape or something.
Oh yeah,
who's on the soundtrack, Stan? Who knows? There, if anyone, if any all of right, our listeners know their 80s BPO, rock.
Bachmann or Overdrive. You got Lover Boy. You got April Wine. Chilliwack. That's the one who had the song in the rape scene. Those are the big ones off the top of my head on the version we saw.
Don't forget,
there's a different version with different music, and I don't know if this was the version with the with. I imagine this is the version that has the music that's not like the original before they replace it. Because yeah, I mean, if anybody who's like, if you're Chilliwack, who's a you know,
a respectable band. Yeah,
respectable Canadian 70s, 80s rock band who had a lot of hits. If you know that's going on in your song. By the way, the particular songs they chose for that scene too, I think it's called Baby Blue. Slot, like in context. There's nothing but these are bands that were big enough to generally, like BTO and stuff like that, April Wine, to crossover hits into America, right? Like, it's not just
Honeymoon Sweet. Honeymoon Sweet.
Honeymoon Sweet's another one, yeah.
And everybody knows Raise a Little Hell.
Yeah, Trooper's on there. That's right. Trooper has a couple songs on there. Raise a Little Hell. Yeah, and Lover Boy obviously had, you know, and Working for the Weekend is in there. And yeah, like, so the cost that it would have cost, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have easily eaten up their entire budget. And
either that or the Canadians are nicer than anybody knows. And they're just like, yeah, please use our songs.
That seems highly unlikely, ultimately. I mean, but sure. You know, but everything else feels like they got it for free. You know, like the acting, the bowling alley. I have no problem believing that they got that stuff for free.
The special effects is where the money went, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. And the special effects are fantastic. They are totally worth the money. I have a hard time with this one ultimately because it's just... Yeah, I mean, yes, I think that they truly did want to make this movie, which seems a little bit odd to me. But I'm going to give it a 7.
Do you think this was shot on film or digitally?
I think digital.
Digital makes sense. Again, when you have, when all you're trying to do is put it into special effects, then
it was clean. And what year was this?
2008
digital. Okay.
Yeah, it would have to be digital then.
I think it was 2008.
It was 2008. Is
correct. Yes.
Because it feels like I've been hearing about this movie for like ever, but obviously 2008. That's only 10 years, 11 years.
keep trying.
Eventually, you'll get it right.
Price is Right rules. Closest without going over. 7, you say?
Yes.
Nick, what do you say?
Oh yeah, you know what? They made a movie, so that's 5. They didn't do it with a lot. That's 6. It's a disgusting piece of trash.
That's 8. That's 9.
I don't know if that's a plus or minus. I'll go with the 7.
It's. I also will go with a 7, but I am taking that minus that I put in the last one. I'm putting that across probably everything in this because that rape scene is so disgusting. So I'm going to go with a 6.
Disgusting piece of trash is like a plus 5 to me. So I'm going to go with a 9. I'm going to go with a 9. This is old, like this is like in the tradition of Basket Case and Sleepaway Camp. Like, I mean, there's a lot of movies.
You don't make these in the 21st century.
Yeah, like I did think about, like, you know, I love using the phrase "it was a different time," and 2008 is not one that I can use. It was a different time for. it feels like it should be 20 years older than it is. But I guess that'll be the inspiration of the director, though.
Like, yes,
he very much wanted. I get the feeling he very much wanted that kind of like super over the top. It's something that would show off his. Like, he went into special effects more than he went into directing. So like,
worked on a lot of special effects films. You know, over the course of.
This is a tremendous sizzle reel film. This is a tremendous sizzle reel if that's your chosen field.
Yeah.
Just cut up like 10 minutes of this movie and you know, you get hired on any horror movie going. So 9 for me. Jack, tell your mom I'm going to be late tonight. It's what the fuck moments, Stan.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if like it certainly has them. It's kind of I mean, it's a slasher movie, so I anticipate certain number of what the fuck moments. I think the one part that I really truly found completely what the fuck was the ball waxer and when it started talking.
Oh my god, the dialogue for the ball waxer is amazing.
That's
in my memorable moments.
Yeah. I mean, and that is totally that is totally fair. But the first moment of hearing that, and it was just like you think to yourself, oh okay, the ball waxer's talking, that's kind of weird. And then you actually realize that the ball waxer is having a conversation essentially with
generally
him.
Generally insulting the guy. My favorite is when he looks at the wax, it's hot, and on the ball, he touches it. It says, don't touch the hot wax. And he goes, ow. And then the ball waxer goes, dumbass.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
So I mean that stuff, like, that was, I thought that was funny as hell and completely, like, completely weird and almost out of context for the moment. But then the second time you see it, I mean, it's wonderful. And you know, so much of the other stuff, like they're using these things in the bowling alley that are good. The costuming is a tad what the fuck. Like the fact that these people were actually friends, I think, is what the fuck. Like, you've got the one guy who's like he obviously looked like the heavy metal guy, but he didn't actually act like the heavy metal guy.
No.
And then you've got the people dressed in their, like, 80s costumes, and of course the preps on the other side and that kind of thing. And then the transsexual, and it's just like, I don't actually see how any of these people would ever be friends and hang out together. So that's what the fuck.
What bowling league and that's up for a game?
And
that's
and
the
that
beauty
they bowl.
Of bowling. It brings people together.
Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of this story must have been the fact that he was able to get access to the Excalibur bowling alley in Surrey, BC, and from there built the story around it to show off his special effects skills. So I will give it a 7.
WF, I think the most important thing is the obvious kill did not take place. Nobody gets killed by an actual bowling ball.
That's a good point. I never realized that until now.
I mean, every conceivable bowling object is used, but the most obvious one never takes place. I was waiting for it. I couldn't wait. I thought the pin, when they went back to fix the pin setter, somebody would get sent up and their head would be like in the pin thing and it would be funny, but it didn't happen. No, definitely this has like quite a lot of WTFs. The pop sound during the rape was particularly I can't believe they did that. I'm going to go with an 8.
That is, as soon as you reminded me of that, yeah, that's a choice. I don't believe that sound would be made. In fact, all the sounds that are made during that rape seem a little...
And there is a lot of random noises that go on there. Like, I'll give you credit for that.
Pretty damn squishy is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a... There's some stuff, yeah.
But you guys knew as soon as I said pop sound what the hell I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no question about it.
They could have used it on the mangina.
Oh, yeah. And you know, simply the inclusion of the transsexual character is WTF. It's like the epitome of it. But my favorite WTF is just the entire ending 5 minutes. Where it's like, hey, you know what would be good? A twist ending. Hey, you know what nobody else see coming after that? A twist ending. Hey, I got it. Hey, we got 2 twist endings. So never expect 3 or 4 more twist endings. And just idling on these twist endings.
The killer being like having that many people in on this. I still don't know. Why was the black guy in on it? Like, he just knew?
Well, no, because
he wasn't black.
Well, he had.
Yeah, he was.
He had an Afro pick.
I was thinking the one with the Afro pick. I was thinking the other guy who was in on it.
Dad, yeah, like, yes. Well, that's why I said half the cast was in on it. So
they end up, well, like I said, this is where it gets confusing because there is 400 twist endings in the last 5 minutes.
There's more
than giving it an 8.
All right. There are a couple of really, I mean, all of the things we've mentioned, but also like that sound effect when someone later in the film gets stabbed in the rear end with a sharp object, and then it's turned, and there's this squishy sound.
They take the bowling pin and sharpen it.
Yep. Yeah, and it makes this nice of them. Moist sound that is really disturbing. there's a great bit where the transgender character is in a bathroom, and she hears a noise in the stalls, but the stalls are both locked, and so she's crouching down to look under the door, but she's had to do the entire scene crouching because she's clearly tall enough to just look over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Of the, like, the door is like about 5'10", and she could just like stand up right.
Oh, yeah, she's biggest person in the whole movie. She's like 6'8".
So she has to crouch to like try to hide the fact that she should just be able to look right into the stall. Before she's brutally murdered.
We do mean brutally.
And then we get to the, without giving too much detail, I won't tell you which half of the cast is responsible for the deaths. But there's a bit where Lisa, the girl who has been assaulted at the beginning of this film, shows up in a bowling shirt and for no reason that's explained, her underwear. She has no pants on for that whole scene, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there is also the part that she is shown, like we say, with the graphic close-up of her lady parts in the first 45 seconds of the film, and which is a WTF.
Underwear and then
in the rape scene, they have to pull her underwear off. I didn't get that.
Oh, that continuity is—it's really so important. I'm going up to a 9 on this. There's a lot of the kills are out there. They're, like I said, I've seen a lot of movies in this genre, and it was still a lot of brand new stuff to me. Memorable moments.
I mean, as mentioned earlier, there's no chance that you're ever going to forget the rape scene. So I think so, that
memorable, but in a negative way.
Yeah, that's not a positive for sure. And I'm never gonna forget the swearing and just the sheer volume of swears in this movie, because it's just like, wow. Do you know any other words? This was the question.
But, for me, that's a positive. I was laughing and thinking that was great because it just got so ridiculous. It was to the point where it was annoying. And then after it went to annoying, it went to awesome because it just got so, it was, again, just that over the topness that everything is.
I mean, there's like some of the kills absolutely are like the kind of things that, like, when the guy gets his face stuck in the ball waxer and he pulls back and his face is completely gone and caved in, like that's burned into my mind right now. And it's really good work, really good. There's other things, other elements that are going to be burned in there for sure. I probably won't necessarily remember the movie as a whole, other than like kind of that sick feeling of like, okay, I like some of it, didn't like some of it, but yeah, I'm not going to forget certain elements for sure. So I'm going to give it a 6.
I think it deserves a 9, but right after this podcast, I'm taking a toothbrush to my brain to try to forget some of it. So that's a -3. I don't think it'll come completely scrubbed out, but I'm going to forget as much of this film as possible. 6.
Yeah, I'm also giving it the 9, but again, with the -1, that is my modifier in all things. So that I'll leave it at an 8, because, like, honestly, for years, I mean, it's been probably 2009 that I saw it. So, I mean, I never forgot, obviously, the rape, but also never forgot the ball waxing, both of them, both the ball waxer and the dialogue and how awesome that is, even though it made me laugh again, even, but I never forgot how awesome that was. And also that ball waxer kill to me is the best kill in the movie. And I just never forgot it. It's awesome. It also goes on way too long, like all the kills do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
One other thing, the kills go on to everything's in just excess. So I have an 8 on this.
The heavy metal guy's girl didn't go on too long. Mm. I thought that one was appropriately of length.
Yeah, that was a normal length kill.
Yeah, we didn't even mention the sex scene kill. I mean, that's always God. That's always what sticks with me in these films is the kills. Like I'll forget pretty much all of the setup, except I'll remember like how some of the kills happen.
The sex scene though, like we say, pretty sure it's prosthetic, but you're just I've never seen that.
Yeah,
that level of graphic relation.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then the kill like that, and both of them dying like that. Basically, one guy. One guy dies by being suffocated because the woman who is they're performing the 69, she dies. And then her weight of her vagina on his mouth causes him to no longer.
The killer
pushed.
The killer just pushes down on both ends of her. Basically.
Yeah. And, yeah. So he dies by vagina.
Two birds, one stone.
Stones, vagina one bird. Suffocation. That's actually how I'd like to go. Now that I realize it.
Yeah. That's. If you get to choose, I mean, that's why you bring the hookers to the bowling.
I'm going to a 9, and that's still with a minus 1.
I'm gonna land on an 8 in the end. Crazy concept.
Well, it's interesting because through the whole movie, I just kept kind of flashing back to Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowl-O-Rama. Because a lot of it just, even though they're a little bit different, taking place in the bowling alley, like similar 80s style clothing and theme, that kind of thing. So there was a lot of stuff where I was just like, this feels a lot like that. And it's just like, is this going to happen? And so I'm not going too high. I mean, certainly adding the rape, that was absolutely they didn't do that in the Sorority Fly Bubble Arama, but and it's a bowling alley and they killed people using bowling things, so I'm just gonna go with a 4.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking the same way. This is definitely a genre film. You pick a place. This time it's a bowling alley. You get some queens and teens in quotation marks, and you kill them interestingly. So 4 is the appropriate number. It is right, and I dare you guys to pick anything else.
I am going at it from a completely different point of view, in that I'm going at it from not from the setting and the kills and this and that like you guys are. I'm going at it from the idea that you thought you could get away with this and do this in the 21st century and people would think it's okay. That's the crazy concept. Like if you look at it from the idea that you actually brought this thing to the ratings board and they told you to get an R rating, you'd have to cut 19 minutes of a 96 minute film and you bothered to go. That's me awesome. Shows what a crazy concept this is. That to me is just the idea that you would go there at all with most of these kills and this far and think that, that people wouldn't get upset. Or maybe he thought people would get upset, but he tried to get it into the theaters. I have an 8 minus 1 for a 7.
Yeah, that does make it strangely. Yeah, like because it's got that drive-in feel, VHS era, and yet it goes so far. And
it goes farther than trauma movies.
Yeah, and I mean strangely, as you say you can't get away with it, but there's a sequel that's ready to go. So
unfortunately Ryan Nicholson passed away 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, director is a Canadian, as well as the music. He passed away after an illness and
brain cancer 2 weeks ago, October 8th. So we'll likely never see that sequel.
Yeah, I don't. As far as I know, it was filmed, so we'll see. Because it was fundraised.
Filmed
on
in 2015 Kickstarter
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been,
it was Kickstarter or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would not hold my breath, which is a shame. But yeah, bring only 47 years old.
Wow.
Well, that's a pity. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up before in More Heart Than Budget because I thought it might color the numbers. All right, so that brings us to the end of the balloting, and every season we have six secret modifiers. This film does get two of them. It does just barely tick over 95 minutes at 96 minutes for a minus one on that. Gets a plus one for being a director we haven't seen before, considering he only did five movies or something like that.
So it has more ratings on IMDb than what we have. What was our
huge margin? Yeah, by a huge margin. 500 was the cutoff, and this has nearly 3,000.
Wow.
It has a following.
Canadians are loyal.
It definitely has a following. I mean, that's more I'm often used to seeing this kind of movie having as many ratings as it has cast members.
Yeah.
So that ends up this movie at a very, very respectable 70 out of 100, which puts it right between Preppies and Space Mutiny. And our list is starting to be really weird.
It fits well with Preppies, I think.
I think so.
It is starting to.
Is it the highest rated of the season then, or?
I think it just squeezed by because I think 60. We had a 68. We had two 68s and a 70. So yeah.
Well, interesting. Interesting. I mean,
I can't wait for the next season though, because we're going to be picking some Boogaloo classics. I'm positive.
Oh God, there's going to be some Boogaloo for sure coming up next season.
Yes. So we have I guess, is it time for business first and then the Gymerator, or what?
Business and then pleasure. Yeah, you got to have the business before the pleasure.
It's a business and pleasure. What Canadian band had that as an album name?
Oh, that's Helix right there.
You bet it is. They would have been great in the soundtrack.
Yeah. Until somebody told them, in which case then it would be.
Everybody else. Yeah. Like, how ballsy, again, crazy concept, to think that you can get away with putting on some of the most famous songs in the history of Canadian rock and not pay for it, that you can get away with it. And that, it even got to DVD to DVD like that, Blu-ray.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. Well, we saw that it, is right? Totally insane.
Just balls. That's balls. That's balls. Balls of whatever bowling balls are made of.
Gutters.
Well, there was lots of gutters involved in this movie. Balls that went in the gutters, mines that went in the gutters. So yeah, it's stuff.
I can't believe that most of these cast members went, yeah, I'm okay with doing this. Most of them didn't just say, I no.
Oh, they were probably just happy enough to be in a movie.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, until Arrow started, I mean, all these folks have worked on like eight episodes of Arrow each, Arrow and Supergirl. again, that's going to be a very strange resume. I did Gutterballs, and then I was then I did a speaking role on Flash. It was just Smallville, Gutterballs, Flash. Wait, that was my career.
The hooker that was killed in the bathroom doing the 69, isn't she Supergirl? No, am I wrong?
She is not. Don't spread rumors about the amazing Melissa Benoist.
All right, let's do
the business. Give it the business and wrap things up. All right, we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and we are sponsored by We Talk Podcasts, and WeTalkPodcasts.com is the home of the Octagon, which is the ongoing record of our search for the ultimate B movie, sortable by each category, not sortable by objective quality. Also, We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook and a Twitter, and you should subscribe to the show on whatever your favorite podcast app is, or YouTube.
All right.
or on their website.
Or on their website, is there an RSS or whatever? I never once worked out an RSS in my entire life.
Well, you have to hit the button that says subscribe, so it's pretty hard.
Yeah, but I don't know what happens after that. Like, I don't.
Oh.
Like, I've done that part, but then like nothing happens. It's the next thing. Like, it feels like there should be something happens after that.
You should get an email.
It's all good. This seems way too granular for this moment.
Yeah, let's get to. Let's
I didn't even ask all the polling questions I had. granular is our new thing. That's
yeah. Did anybody else ever say even spare? I think the only thing that they knew about bowling was a strike.
Just strikes. That's 100%.
All right. Well, that wraps up season 9 blissfully, and now it is time to get into season 10, where we can ask ourselves if we believe in magic. Do you believe in magic, fellows? I do. So, all right.
We'll see.
That's a good.
If I have trouble, I didn't make that long a list of movies. So,
me either.
At the end,
so
of
many.
Season,
I just assumed there wouldn't be any crossover.
At the end of season 10, we'll see if we believe in magic or if we believe in something completely different. All right, fire up the Jimmerator.
All right. And
Jiminator, Jimmerator, whatever the hell you want to say.
And
fingers crossed. I don't know what I want, but
I mean, I'm totally okay going first, given that I kept the movie that that inspired.
I feel like if Stan goes first, then he's gonna pick something, and we're all gonna be like, was that the topic we're supposed to be? I think I misunderstood the theme.
No, do not mess with the Jimmerator. It's
the integrity of the Jimmerator is vital to Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. God damn it, Jim! Press that button.
I did already. It's Jack. Jack's starting us off.
Oh, I am. Well, I'm happy to start you off with this. A murderer with the help of Chinese vampires does battle with the ghosts of a dead gambling lord's wife and the gambling lord's living brother in a movie I really hope we can find, because I can say that about both of my movies.
Awesome.
Ninja the Violent Sorcerer.
Okay. Wow.
What did I do it wrong?
Ninja the Violent. Oh, I'm just. I've got a type, so I don't know the other guys can react.
I don't know what to say.
You're gonna type. Really, someone's just keeping track.
I was really hoping for a rape-free season from that description, and no other information. I think I'm out of luck.
Dude, I don't know if you've been paying attention. We haven't had a rape-free season yet.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point. Pretty good point, yeah, right there.
It's just not that kind of show.
Yeah. So, Stan, what is it that you're just amazed by? The title, the description, the fact that you never heard of it?
No, I mean it's all of those. It's a great way to start, quite frankly. It sounds completely balls out nutty.
Yeah, the legendary Godfrey Ho.
Yeah, well, I'm down.
All right, so Jack, Nick, Stan, and got a lot of business to take care of here.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I should have really done more prep. All right, Jimmerate. Taking a long time. All right, Stan.
Okay, so... The movie that inspired the whole thing, caught some of it on TV. It was only about 10 minutes that I saw, and it just seemed so terribly done. It actually has pretty good reviews on IMDb, but the names attached to it, the special effects looked crazy bad. So I don't care. We're going to do it. It's called Cast a Deadly Spell.
Oh, seen it. Oh, yeah. This is going to be an interesting one in Boogaloo Land.
All right.
Yeah.
I believe that's the original, and there's also a sequel. Is that the one with Fred?
Cast a Deadly Spell has Fred Ward and Julianne Moore, directed by Martin Campbell, produced by Gail Ann Hurd. So, I mean, it's like crazy. Oh, and Clancy Brown.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, and the sequel is actually, the role gets taken, because it's based on a novel.
Yeah.
The sequel, the role is taken over by
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper, yeah, and that's probably the more Boogaloo of the two, but they're both good films.
Yeah, so Witch Hunt, is the sequel.
Yeah, that one's available. You know, it's an HBO film. So
yeah, that's right.
If you have the access to HBO product, you can, anybody can easily see that.
Yeah, but while like watching it for like a few minutes here and there, man, it really showed off as Boogaloo. So it'll be interesting to watch it as a whole.
It's a really good film. I'll be really interested to see how I see it as a Boogaloo film, which is of course not how I watched it. Which actually comes back to my season. We're doing it by accident. You didn't know. You didn't know it was Boogaloo.
Yeah.
All right, Jim Reid. Oh, it is Dick.
All righty. You know what? I'm going back to my childhood once again with a movie I was absolutely disappointed at the time. And I hope time has been kind to this sucker. We're going back to 1991 in more ways than one with Beastmaster 2 Portal Through Time.
Was that a made-for-TV movie?
No.
Okay.
That was a theatrical one. The third in this Beastmaster series is the made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, I knew they started doing some made-for-TV movie at some point. Now, I'd like to say, 1991, you're back to your childhood. Weren't you about 47 then?
Sure.
It's the second childhood, yeah. All right, well, it's my turn. I picked a movie that it's a different definition of magic. I thought it was magical that that there's a group of people on a beach and there's a monster under the sand.
Fuck you.
You cannot be serious. That's Stan's fault. He encouraged me to say the sand would be in the season. No matter what the topic.
Okay, that's a good joke.
The actual one, the actual film is, I couldn't imagine a better follow-up to Beastmaster 2 Portal Through Time than Deathstalker 2.
Thank you so much, Jim
Wynorski. It is on Tubi. It is 85 minutes.
It's also Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's a very accessible film, but it is it does have an evil sorcerer. It has a magic duplicate of a princess, sorcerer's goons. So we get Beastmaster 2, then Deathstalker 2.
I'm so happy about that, because that was one of my choices
format.
For sure.
No, Jim Raider, snake format, so I can go last. Like I did last year.
Whatever the Jim Raider says.
In fact, aren't we in the exact order we were last year?
There's only so many combinations. Strangely, I am next. You may end up with this. Luckily, I honestly have struggled with what the second movie was. Deathstalker was fast, but I decided to go with Rafael Zelensky's Spellcaster, starring Adam Ant.
Oh wow, Zelensky back again. That's great.
It's a 1988 film starring Adam Ant and a whole bunch of people you will never see before.
You had me at Adam Ant.
Yes. Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, actually, you had me at Rafael Zelensky, but...
A group of people are killed one by one while participating in a million-dollar treasure hunt in a mysterious Italian castle.
Oh, where's the magic?
It's called Spellcaster because there is, like, lots of magic.
Ah, good point.
The tag on the poster is, his magic is evil, his spell is deadly, his power complete.
That's a good one.
I mean, I can't guarantee how much magic, but that's what the poster told me. There's magic, so. All right.
That's actually how both of mine are. I will look them up to go, yes, there is magic. I will be able to justify it.
All right. Next up is Stan.
Okay. Well, this one, in this case, Deathstalker 2 was probably going to be my choice, but I am glad that you chose it because... as much as I know that there's certain parts of it that are not going to score well, it feels like a perfect movie to get dumped into a season like this, even though it could be very painful to watch. I'm going for Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, fuck. I was so hoping you were going to say Masters of the Universe. So hoping.
Are we talking which version are we talking about? 2000?
2000, yeah. With
Jeremy Irons?
Jeremy Irons, yes.
Well, the Tom Hanks one would not be.
that's Mazes and Monsters, yeah.
Mazes and Monsters, yeah. So yeah, Dungeons and Dragons.
year 2000 version, because I think there is like a there's an animated or something other than that.
Yeah, well, actually, there's two sequels to Dungeons and Dragons, which, and make no doubt, the third film, The Book of Vile Darkness, with direct-to-DVD, you know, that sounded like a contender to me. But.
Well, I thought that those were Uwe Boll, but I guess that's Dragon Siege. I'm getting it confused.
Ask Nick. He's the Uwe Boll master.
Dungeon Siege.
Dungeon Siege, you say. All right.
Yeah. Good enough.
All right. We're close to the end.
You can't siege a dragon.
I don't know how you siege a dungeon, quite frankly, but...
All right, come on.
Man, the gym rigger is really slow today.
It's just giving me ones and fours. two, so it is Nick. Jack gets to go last.
Oh, yeah.
The gym rigger has spoken. Nick?
All right. I was thinking about last year... And we were watching we watched Halloween 6. And it got me thinking, I don't know enough about druids. What is a movie?
That is the takeaway from that movie.
That will teach me about druids.
Uh-huh.
And the answer is Warlock 2.
Oh, no, I said, you're not. You didn't go. I thought you were going to go Terror for 57,000 feet. Where William Shatner is and a bunch of other people are there's druids on the airplane that's terrorizing them. I thought that's where you were going. I think you still made a good choice though.
I love that you went with Warlock 2 though.
Warlock 1. I don't. I mean, yeah.
I almost went with Warlock 1 because it's Steve Miner, you know, and it has some Boogaloo in it, but. You know, until you get direct to DVD, you don't get true Boogaloo sometimes.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah, you get into movie two or three before you get the real, the pure essence, the pure Boogaloo.
Yeah, except for with Gutterballs.
all right, Jack.
All right, well, here it is. Another movie I'm hoping we can find from 1984. Martial arts heroes battle aliens from the astral plane for control of the universe. It's Furious.
Where's the magic?
I looked it up. It's there.
That might be one of the modifiers. Is we'll have a clever name. Like we couldn't find the rabbit.
Even if the description doesn't say it, but even if the description didn't say it, I would like to repeat: martial arts heroes battle aliens from the astral plane for control of the universe.
Maybe they think the astral plane is magic.
I think astral plane. There's some magic within some magic creatures within the astral plane. It's my understanding.
All right.
Yeah, well, magic, not magic creatures, magic sorcerers or whatever. So
movie with two directors. That's a good idea. it is listed as sword and sorcery, magical powers. So IMDb says it's all there.
It's all there, dude. All right. Do you think I would see you long? No, but I stuck to a theme.
Yes, yes, you did. You did. Very good.
Which I usually don't do, but it's going to be so worth it.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a crazy season, I think, no question about it. But I'm very happy with a lot of the movies that are chosen. Again, we're a little bit all over, but there, I know there's going to be some scoring going on.
So. Oh, there's going to be some great movies in this, and some fun stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. This was fun. This was great. I'm going to have a supper.
Now, yeah, it'll be time to watch movies like really soon, so that we can start getting back into back into the groove. But yeah, so we wrapped up season 9. If you show me yours, heading on to season 10. Do you believe in magic? And I do, and I'm excited. So that's really all that matters. So I think we're about done for this season. What do you say we wrap it up and go home and go watch some magical movies?
Yeah, because I could start recording this weekend for this.
Awesome. Yeah, totally.
Sounds so much fun. When you're going to start with Ninja the Violent Sorcerer, then I'm ready within.
Yeah,
I'm ready within 96 minutes.
let's get going then. All right, for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick. I am your host, 8th Dan Stan Adu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Hey guys, Check this out.
One man team, what the f*** is that about?
It's a glitch, there is no BBK.
You don't know who or where this person is.
You don't just vanish into thin air, it's going out quite safe.
Guess
it's safe to say that BBK won this game. BBK and
Booyah!
Yo, this man is getting pretty interesting.